Leaving the Puzzle Factory. Forward. When I left the police service, I kind of slipped out without much fuss. I like to be acknowledged, but not with too much acknowledgement, if that makes any sense. I was looking forward to what was next, with the challenges that provided. I never really appreciated my police time or celebrated it within myself. I just packed my bags and left. I did say goodbye to a bunch of people, but I don't think I gave my leaving the respect and notice it needed. There was some unfinished business. In this podcast, I'm going to relive my past with the service. I'm going to use everything I experienced, like the sights, sounds, smells, and emotions I experienced, along with those I observed others experience. And I'm going to use the wisdom that I received from those around me. I am so thankful to the people I served with. They were a group of not perfect, sometimes troubled people who carefully guided me and carried me during my journey. Most of all, I am so thankful to my family for letting me and supporting me. The hallway. I had just walked into the building where I'd be learning how to practically be a police officer. Months after taking the subway to the recruiting office to be sworn in as a servant of Her Majesty the Queen, 16 weeks of basic training, 4 months of field training, and another 2 weeks of finishing touches, I was apparently ready to go. I walked down the hallway that ran down the center of not the most impressive police station I had imagined. It had that high school feeling to it, but getting called to the principal's office had a new meaning in this place. My fellow employees were walking around either looking very serious or giggling like children. I didn't know who anyone was, so I was totally fearful that I would say hi to someone who should be addressed with sir or ma'am or sergeant. It is easy to get in trouble, the sergeant said at police college, or that's what they wanted me to think. As I walked down the hallway towards what I hoped was the locker room, I could sense the seriousness of the place despite the laughter I heard. I had one of those moments like, am I ready? Is my training officer going to be a good situation? Do they have training officers here? I realized I had no idea what I was going to do in this building. Big surprise. I'd never been a police officer and never been in the building. How was this going to work out? How do I act? Where do I go? How do things really work? So many questions and a total nervousness around me. Fearful, yet with a keen sense of anticipation. As I started to get my act together, I got dressed and geared up. I had to talk to some of the inside people on my platoon, and they were surprisingly helpful and friendly. Was it an act? As other people started to arrive, they began to notice that a new guy had arrived. Big surprise, as early as police college, I knew where I was going. They must have. None of my new colleagues were mean or anything. I got a couple pieces of free advice. Apparently new people have to buy coffee for their partners. I don't drink coffee, so I'm not sure how that factors in. But I play hockey, so that seems to be going in my favor. It's amazing how much info these guys get out of me in just a few minutes. They are totally sizing me up. The sergeants come in and scan the room. They are concerned about something, but I have no idea what they're talking about as they use so many abbreviations and terms. Why didn't the sergeants at police college teach me this crap? Memorizing all that stuff from the books all day is great, but getting along with people takes communication, and it would help if we were speaking the same language. I survive the parade, which is just the meeting before we go on the road. I find out quickly from the guy I'm driving with, who isn't a training officer, that there is no way he trusts me to drive, but he is willing to let me buy him a coffee. You should have seen the look on his face when I came back with a coffee for him and an orange juice and croissant for me. I'd been so nervous that I hadn't eaten lunch before work. In hindsight, I should have gone for at least the look-alike coffee, tea. I heard about it all shift. But again, I play hockey, so that seems to get me out of the doghouse. We go call to call, and he's pretty good at explaining what things are about, and I'm picking up a bunch of stuff watching him and sometimes the other guys when there's a group of us together. These guys stick together and watch out for each other, even when they don't like each other. The sergeants come by usually at least once a shift to talk to us when we're on the road. Well, let's be clear. They talk to my partner. I'm learning pretty quickly that I am on a learning curve, and this gives me a little cushion to get caught up. Every time we come into the station, I walk down that hallway. Whether we have someone under arrest or we're just going in for lunch or going to the washroom, it's always that hallway. It really does have that high school feel to it. Just with older people who have guns and apparently really like hockey. During a hockey game, someone tried to take me out in front of the net. It was a police hockey game. And I took care of that. And some dude took a swing at me when we tried to arrest him, so I jujitsu'd him, and no fuss, no injuries, no nothing. Now, apparently, I'm in. I buy coffee. I can stand up for myself in hockey, occasionally putting the puck in the net, and I can fight without being an idiot. They like me. They don't understand the coffee thing. Wait till they find out I don't drink. Maybe next chapter. Driving down the street with the windows open. After a while with working with various people, I get to cruise on my own. Before this point, I did get to drive the police car with my partner, but just on midnights for some reason. I tell you though, who gets to drive which car is a big deal. There's a lot of politicking involved in this, with some serious words being exchanged between people. It's a friggin' big deal. So I gotta say, I love driving down the road at night with the window down, listening to the sound of the city and the smell of the restaurants. Or the smell of the garbage truck that pulls up beside you unannounced. Boy, did I stand in the right line getting a job, I'll tell you. I like driving. I go wherever I want to between calls. I set the pace, and I do all the work I want. This is what I signed up to do. As I gain experience, I can handle most calls without my training wheels. I start getting the hand of dealing with our customers. Man, they like to lie. They aren't even trying to hide it. You learn to read the situation, and always keeping calm helps the situation. I have worked with some great people who could talk to anybody. Didn't matter if you were down and outer or the president of some multinational corporation. It was all how you talked. I get that. I had a bunch of really good people just nail this stuff. If you watch them and ask them questions, these people are solid. I don't think I would have appreciated how good they are with people if I hadn't seen it time and time again. The coppers that seem to have problems with every call never listen to the people. They just never say the right things. I would love to feel bad for them, but making the same mistake every time is just, I don't know, what can you say? Some of the guys take me under their wings and start giving me some really good advice. What's important to write? How to put together a good case? How not to sweat certain things? How to stay away from the sergeants? How to just do your job? And how not to be stupid. Now, I wasn't sure about this whole sergeant thing. Are they okay? Do they really like to chew up constables who mess up? What's the story with this? I get involved in a couple big cases and stuff. I end up having to deal with them, and they are like really experienced people. They make sure I have everything covered, but not by making me feel stupid or anything. They are dialed in, and I realize they are a buffer to the people above. These guys are on the road with us, they listen, and when the big stuff happens, they are there making sure it gets done and that we are good. Now that I cruise by myself a fair bit, when they do visit, they have to talk to me. I learn everything's fine, but to make sure my work stuff gets sorted. They like that. It's all about the confidence in me and what I do. Confidence and trust. They don't care about the Hollywood crap. It's not about medals or awards, good work and taking care of business. I like cruising at this station. The men and women I work with are great. I get moved around a bit so that I learn all our areas and the special things in those areas to look out for. And I get to know most of the shift at this point. I seem to be fitting in, even with the coffee thing. I occasionally get a fake coffee or a tea brought to me. If you haven't missed the theme, that is a big deal. Apparently, we lost a couple good guys the years before I got there. It weighs heavily on them, and they are in a way still in mourning. They don't want to lose anyone else. They're pretty solid on that. They tell me the stories in a very reverent way. I feel their loss. It's like going to church. So I continue to cruise the streets, keeping my window open as much as I can. In what other job do you have these freedoms despite being in a paramilitary organization? Many of the people I work with, this is all they have ever done. Some of them are fine with that, others not so much. Some of these people have stories, but I'm not always in the know. I do know that they are great to work with. They are complex people in many ways. They have a bunch of really interesting hobbies. They all cook really well. They all seem to fall in and out of love a lot. Not sure what that's about. all the while telling me to value the person I am involved with and not to follow their example. As I am driving around, I am deep in thought. I am reaching that point where I feel comfortable and confident in what I do. But is there something else or somewhere else I need to be? I don't know, man, but does that Greek restaurant I just passed smell awesome? Narrow streets. The streets I am now driving down with the windows open are a lot narrower. I am downtown navigating the roads and back lanes of what was quickly becoming a very interesting experience. The station is old, way overcrowded, and totally not up to what was needed. Let's put it this way. What half of the locker do I get, if at all? The first thing I notice is that every one of the frontline officers is young, younger and less experienced than me. There are a few older guys, thank goodness, but after a while I wondered why they put up with us youngings running around. All these people are switched on. Things happen here. They had to, as the music is full on 24/7. I have never worked so hard and so quick. You had to. This is serious stuff. There are problems out there, and those problems got out of hand really quickly if we didn't jump in. I actually felt old on the platoon. I'd come from a calmer situation, and I think I brought a lot of that with me. A lot of these people wanted to go places in the organization, I have to say. In the end, a lot of them did. These people weren't better at taking care of business. They could do it faster and more efficiently, and they could read situations really well. There was more realistic potential for things going off the rails in this place. You had to know it and use all the situational awareness and communication skills to keep it all in check. The most dangerous thing in a situation isn't the potential danger, but how we manage it. It sounds backwards, but in a high percentage of those situations, we had the key to bringing it to a good landing. The people that realized that did well. Something I had to get used to quickly was the sergeant situation. These weren't the uncles from my last shop. These were a group of people either on their way up or way down. Some of them were good with it and some were not. They were experienced and to the point. I have to say that the uncles and them really informed me how a sergeant, when my time came, oops, spoiler alert, yes, I became a sergeant later on. I went back on and off the platoon a couple times due to some time spent in frauds. It was interesting coming in and out. The other people going in and out, meaning they were given the opportunities to specialize in other uniform or plainclothes sections of the station, were like me. Happy and restless, knowing we weren't going to be there for long. We were going to be going upstairs to the squads, and isn't that what everybody wanted? I had to back up my uncles a couple times when I was there. I wasn't a new person anymore, and with all the newbies running around, I had to draw the line and remind them that I didn't need a babysitter. I wasn't rude, but sometimes you have to let people know that you're okay, and that they don't need to worry. And I just waited. And man, did I get great experience. There was nothing like it. Almost nowhere in the city. And we were proud of it. We thought our station was it. And it was. We were invincible. Death. Other than giving my respects to people who have passed on at a funeral home, I'd never really experienced death or anything that goes with it. There was one other person on my platoon that dealt with more death scenes, but I was definitely number two. There are a couple things with work that I find hard to deal with. Anything to do with kids, I find really, really hard. As a parent, I immediately go right into their experience. It's hard. I take off my hat to those who deal with the abuse, sexual assault, and the pedophiles. I have close friends and family that have served in those areas. They have my respect. But dealing with death scenes wasn't something that bothered me. Thank goodness, because on a day shift over the 7 days, I would catch at least one such type of call. When you're dealing with someone who has passed, there is a serene religious aspect to it. They are the subject of your job, but they are a person, and that does not pass you by. There is a respect and wonderment about it. Who were they? What type of person were they? What did they do? Who was close to them? And it does make you sad sometimes when nobody noticed that they were gone. When someone passes, you often get to deal with the family. Those situations can be the best and the worst. At times when you deal with the business of dealing with death and the family, can be like church at its best. There's a formality, intimacy, and a connection. When you deal with, and I am sorry, a good passing, it makes you appreciate how wonderful life and those around you can be. At its worst, it's sad. People with things to say and deal with won't get the chance. Lifetimes of misunderstanding and distrust, trying to be put back into the toothpaste tube in a couple of hours. There's a finality to it that forces people into acceptance with fits of frustration. I have to say, it was an honor to be there to ensure that a person's passing was not a result of foul play and to see that their wishes and respect were intact. One group of people I got to meet were the retrieval people from the funeral homes. I have never met a more respectful, caring, and serious group of people. When they arrive, it changes the scene. People now accept that the thing has happened. The process of letting go begins. Order begins to take hold. People just change when these folks arrive. I could never do what they do, but they just do a great job. I have always said that they are the best social workers, pastors, and neighbors. It might sound weird that this is an area that didn't freak me out. It just didn't. It was impactful and taught me a lot about people and how they act and think. It taught me a lot about myself. Deception. When I was working downtown on my platoon, I got called in and I was told I was going to the fraud section as part of a training program. It was interesting because I didn't know I was up for it and I had not expressed any interest in frauds whatsoever. Back at the old station, I had investigated a large number of street-level types of frauds. I'd learned a lot from my platoon mates about frauds, and things seemed to go well. 2 months later, I am in a little office holding the fraud section. I was still fairly new to the station, so nobody really knew who or what I was. I didn't know what was what, but I got the impression that I had a bit of a hill to climb. I quickly dug in. A bunch of things I had learned to do in uniform and in my previous life came in handy. I could talk to people. I could type 40 words a minute. And I could tell a story, and I got along with most people. I cleaned up a bunch of things and just got on with it. People I worked with were really knowledgeable, and after they had their breakfast every day, they were fantastic. As I had a tolerance for paperwork, they eventually started fighting over whose partner I was. These guys let me go. I jumped into a bunch of my own cases, and at one point developed a knack for doing controlled deliveries for goods ordered using fraudulent methods. I have to say that as a police officer, I couldn't do undercover drug deals or undercover prostitution deals, but man, could I play delivery guy all day long and on Sunday. It was fun, and I didn't mind doing the paperwork. Frauds to me are simple. You either have it or you don't. It is a yes or no situation. Sometimes there is a lot of material, but it usually comes down to one fact, piece of paper, or falsehood. Everything else just covers it or the continued conduct up. It's about being able to tell a story. If you can't tell a simple story about what happened, it isn't going to work out in court. I watched the best fraud investigators explain something with one piece of paper and a 20-second talk. That's what I learned from the old guys. It was the best investigative thing I have ever learned because even if some complicated, difficult thing to explain is a fraud, how is a judge or 12 regular people going to understand, appreciate, and decide on this thing? They have to understand a simple and impactful story. I ended up working twice in this fraud section as an investigator and eventually came back a third time as the detective in charge. I think it is hilarious I got involved in fraud investigations because I don't come from a business or financial background. I worked in a group home for developmentally handicapped adolescents and went to school for social work before my police career. I have talked to a couple of coaches about how my career has unfolded. What I got out of those conversations is that we all have aptitudes that we might not even know we have. But when they come out and we are happy, just accept it and go. I have done that, but I tell you, I still chuckle every once in a while. Now, becoming an uncle. Uncle Alistair. The eventual thing happened. I became an uncle. After my 7 bout of frauds, I became a sergeant. I didn't really want to become one, but in the service, it was important to show you were eager, so I wrote the exam. It was like the exam was written for me. Everything that I had experienced or been to training on the previous 3 or 4 years was, I think, in every one of those 110 questions. I didn't get perfect because I am not a great student. I was fortunate that I knew what I knew. And then there was this interview part of it. I couldn't have done better. I knew I had their interest when they asked about the outcome of the cases my stories were based on. Nice. I had a hook. And I can tell a story. So I ended up at a great little station. The platoon was great. The staff sergeant, other sergeant were just so decent to work with. Everything I appreciate about being a manager was largely informed by them. They were awesome. But there was this problem. I eventually wanted to go back to investigations of some sort, but because the station was so small, there was a limited amount of supervisory investigative positions available. And the guys in those positions were very senior, and unless one of them bequeathed the spot, I was in for a long wait. So I went back downtown to the craziness that was. I wasn't on my original shift, but I landed quite well, and it was on. Dealing with the craziness and the business as a supervisor or manager is really different than being the one that does all the hands-on work. Man, I worried about people and what was going on. You had to be everything, their supervisor, their friend, their pastor, their parent, and at times just one of the people dealing with the call. You learn to be real with yourself really quickly. You can't pretend to know everything. You just have to lead, and sometimes you have to trust. Part of being a sergeant was dealing with misconduct and internal investigation. I am not going to say a lot about it, but those things are hard. They have to be done. And you have to make sure your motives are clear and that you can do so in a fair manner. Otherwise, it can be a mess. I like working with that platoon. I learned a lot about the organization and my place within it. I learned about myself. The organization was very supportive, but you just had to do it. And to be honest, there are times when I wondered whether I really wanted the responsibility. They say that that is just part of the program and getting used to it. And then you have to be careful what you have an aptitude for. Being on the inside. After a couple years, I got, well, let's call it, drafted into internal affairs. The problem with being a supervisor or manager in the police is that you have to deal with discipline and at times corrective measures. Now, we have already talked about my falling into the fraud world. Well, it happened again. I fell into doing internal investigations. Now, doing internal investigations in the police service and fraud investigations share a bunch of traits and the skill sets so you can see how things rolled out for me. Most police organizations are awesome, but with every organization, there is stuff that has to be dealt with. During my time on the inside, you really get access to a lot of sensitive information, which can keep you up at night. I learned the importance of doing investigations right with the proper resources and the proper mindset. I worked with some of the best people, and man, did I learn about a lot about the organization, how people think and behave, myself, and how to control the room. One of the benefits of doing this type of investigation is, well, it has to be done. They give you the freedom to get on with it. You get the resources, and you have a seriously experienced team to bounce things off of and to help and support you. I have to thank the people I work for in giving me the space, time, and resources to get it done. And I appreciate the faith they had in me to do this very serious thing. 90% of the investigations I did, there was no basis for concern. It took months, but in the end, there was no misconduct. I have to say that those cases were as hard to investigate as the ones where misconduct had been identified. When people fail, they fail in a huge way. Ending someone's career or, in the worst case scenario, seeing them off to jail is a very, very sobering thing. No one enjoyed that. I have never celebrated somebody's demise. It actually takes you to a sad place, and I can't imagine what they think in the end. A little deceit out the door. The last stage. My last 4 years or so in the service was in what I like to call the puzzle factory. Working frauds in a headquarters environment is interesting. You don't get the same freedom as working in a station's fraud section because the cases are so much larger and complex that there needs to be more coordination between the individuals and teams involved because some of these cases could go on for years. I did miss like doing that 20-25 cases a year versus the 3 or 4 in this new place if I was lucky. That being said, man, do you have to up your game with big cases. It is the big leagues and you have to bring it. I learned so much about case management, timing, figuring out what was important, what story that you want to tell. And when the matter is huge, there are a lot of people involved, from the victims to their companies, their families, their employees, and everyone in between. But you learn to be more efficient, scheduled, organized, and just really good at dealing with people and their crap. And you have to accept that even after 12 months of something, if it isn't there, you have to walk away. When you have to deal with the go, no go point, it is hard. You have invested so much time and effort and typing, and to walk away, but it's just part of the place, part of the system. I met some unique people within the unit. They were all good. They all had ways of doing things. Sometimes we adopted some ways of doing things from each other, and sometimes we just disagreed. Some of the people I worked with had been doing fraud investigations for over 20 years. You could learn so much from them. But they were a unique group. It was a good go. Not everyone likes doing frauds, and quite frankly, not everyone can. Time to go. The walkout. I reached the point where I asked, what's next? I had asked that question a couple times in my career, but this was different. After almost 22 years, I had an opportunity in another government agency to do frauds on steroids. But did I want to leave the cozy bubble I was in, knowing that I had another 10 years till retirement, or did I want to start a new journey? I wasn't sure, so I just went through with the selection process for the new shop. But I really wasn't committed at first. I hadn't spent enough time on my CV, and I didn't prepare enough for the interview. It didn't matter. They saw something or heard something that they needed. They were hiring for 2, but hired 3. There was a need, and they just moved forward. When the offer came down, I sat down with my wife, and we had a great conversation. And then I jumped and took the job. Now, leaving an organization that had done so much for you and provided so many opportunities was hard. I love working on teams and in partnerships. And when I think of the service, it is those teams and partnerships that come to mind so fondly. There was another level to this as well. I had a close family member in the police service serving with me, my brother. We became officers at roughly the same time and even worked geographically close to each other most of the time. There is nothing better than experiencing something with someone who has similar experiences and who understands what you're going through. There are a lot of people with family members on the service. It's awesome. You have these built-in people to share the experience with and to support you in just such a unique way. I really appreciate that aspect of our relationship. It made the experience so much richer, and I am thankful, but it also made it hard to leave. So, thank you for taking this journey with me. It was important to me to do this, to put this together. Like I mentioned, I don't think I really said goodbye or thank you for the experience in the service. And to my family, thanks for taking this journey with me and supporting me. I love you all. Thanks for hanging out.